Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, from another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and they're with us all the time here on Straight Talk. Okay, we're doing political profiles today. We have two candidates back-to-back. Number one is a fellow by the name of Daniel Harshaw. He's one of the Republican candidates for probate judge in York County. And the coming back by popular demand is Elizabeth Hens. She is the Republican State House candidate for District Number 26. So let's go ahead and start with gentlemen first. How about that, Daniel? Tell us a little bit about you, if you would.
Well, thank you, Manning, and I appreciate you allowing me to come on the show. So I'm Daniel Harshaw. I and my wife, Jane, live in McConnell's in the southern part of York County. We have four
Metro McConnell's.
That's right. Downtown, if you will.
Okay.
And we've got four daughters that we raised there and involved in the community and our church there. I'm an attorney, practice a lot of probate law, estate planning, estate administration, do some other things, some general litigation. Most of that ties to like real estate transactions and the like.
Is your office in McConnell's?
I've got an office in York and one in Clover.
York and in Clover. All right.
But I do have people hunt me down at my house because they know where I live.
Now, I want you to tell everybody about your previous political service.
So
listen closely, everybody.
Was on the McConnell's Town Council probably about 12 years ago.
All right.
And I was one of four candidates for four at-large seats, so it was very different. There was not a lot of campaigning involved in that. It was more, please fill this slot so that we have a full council.
So they nicknamed you Landslide.
That's right.
That's all right. Good for you. Okay, so why the probate judgeship? Why are you interested in doing this?
So I've always been interested in probate law. When I was in law school, took classes that focused in on things related to matters in the probate court, trusts, estates, so dealing with transfers of property when people pass away. And I've seen it as a great way to help people who are hurting, people who are stressed because their home is in this unknown situation, and being able to bring peace and calm to those people. And I see it as a great community service to serve in this way.
I am shocked by the number of people who don't understand that they need to have a will before they die. And everybody's going to die at some point, right?
That's right. And absolutely, everyone should have a will or stronger. But even if you have a trust, you need a will so that if there's an asset that misses that trust for some reason, it can be more cleanly administered in the probate court.
That's a very good point. You set up a trust and you got everything, all your assets named in the trust, and then you add something that needs to be covered. You need to get it in the name of the trust, or you need to have a will.
Absolutely. Oh, and there are things that you don't even have the opportunity to fund into trust. So if you have a wrongful death claim that comes through your death, you didn't get to fund that into your trust. It's going to be through the probate court and through a personal representative, and you need a will to govern who that personal representative is, what their authorities are, and make that process easier.
My guess is if I were to poll all the people here in Substation 2 right now, and it's a pretty good crowd, I would be shocked if two of them knew anything about the probate court. Would you agree?
I would agree.
I mean, it is the unknown court until you have to deal with a will.
It doesn't touch you until it controls your life. So the probate court has an interesting mix of things that it does. Administer decedent's estate, so when someone passes away, transfers of property. It handles adult guardianships, and conservatorships, managing money for people who can't manage their own. So whether that's a minor, whether that's someone who just doesn't have the mental ability to manage their own, it handles involuntary commitments. So people who are not mentally well or chemically dependent. And it also issues marriage licenses. So I'd say in all of those situations, people are coming in dealing with a stressful situation, whether it's the good stress of marriage or the difficult stress of a loss of a loved one or dealing with a special needs situation.
You know, I'm wondering if the probate court itself shouldn't be more proactive in getting the word out about the need for a will. I mean, I don't think I've heard anything done on a regular, consistent basis telling people you need to have this. Kind of like, you know, don't throw litter out the door and don't speed and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And public service type announcements, speaking engagements, absolutely. The probate court should be involved in communicating the requirements when you need to come in and see the court, but also things that make entering that court easier. And so whether that is presenting the process of you really should have a will and these are things that the law requires if you do not have a will, these are things that you can waive with a will so that people are aware, but also being sure that requirements are communicated. So when people, even when you have executed a great plan, when you pass away, that knowledge of how to administer that plan just passed with you. And so the spouse, the children need some help in that. And so I think the probate court should be very proactive in dealing with funeral directors, being sure that they've got the information in hand. This is who you talk to. This is what you need when you talk to them. This is how you can talk to them.
Wow. Now, does the court get involved? You know, if you leave a will and the will says you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, do you make sure that X, Y, and Z are done, or do you just rely upon the parties to make sure X, Y, and Z is done?
So there are certain things that the court will check. So are there, like, real estate transfers? Has the deed of distribution to transfer from the deceased's name to the beneficiary's name? But a lot of it, you're waiting on the parties, the beneficiaries, and they are given a notice. Here is the proposal for how things should be distributed, or things have been distributed this way and they're accounted for here. If you disagree, you've got 30 days to request a hearing on this matter. And so that is part of that process, and it can be varied. There is a statute that provides for, the law allows people in the estate to agree among themselves to distribute differently than the will. Now, there are situations where that might not come into play because of minors, because of charities, those kinds of things, but there's great latitude in the statute for those parties to agree on how things are distributed.
But if the parties decide not to play nice with each other, that's when somebody will come to the court and say, hey, the will that was supposed to be done X, Y, and Z was done Y, Z, and X. And that's when you get involved?
That's right. That's when the court gets a lot more involved in the process, issuing orders, perhaps even moving a personal representative out of office, putting a new person in to be sure that that estate is handled the way that it needs to be handled, either by agreement, by statute, or by will, whatever is controlling in that situation.
What do you say to people, and I'm thinking particularly of the younger generation, who go online and grab, you know, a will form and fill it out and think that's all they need to do? Is that good or bad?
In my experience, that's been very bad. A lot of people don't understand the questions that are being asked. They're not thinking about minor children. And I would say families with young children need wills the most, because without a will, spouse takes half and children take half. And do you want to end up owning your house with a 3 or 4 year old owning a 25 or 50% interest? And it happens.
Oh, gosh.
And it's impossible. And so I've seen people go online, produce their own will through the various programs out there, and they have good bones to the will, and then they get to the other section, well, they've already left all of their property, and then they start making all these specific bequests. They want this piece to go to this person. Well, how does that work? I've already left all of my property to perhaps a spouse or in equal shares to my children or however it's being left, but I want my friend to get this sum of money or my car or something like that. It's a real mess.
And you got to straighten it out.
That's right. It's more expensive to straighten out on the back end than to get it correct on the front end.
Phew. So don't be penny wise and pound foolish.
Exactly. Exactly. Get legal advice when drawing wills.
Huh?
And be sure that you list all of your information on there. Don't hold back. Well, I've got this child that I don't want to provide for. I'm just not going to talk about them. Because then that opens the door for a fight later.
Yeah.
And it can be addressed on the front end and everything left very cleanly.
And if you're going to make a change to your will, just don't cross it out and put your initials on it. You better make sure that thing's done right or it could boomerang on you.
That's exactly right. To be legal in South Carolina, a will has to be signed and must be witnessed by two witnesses who also sign that document. And so your initials can count as your signature, but then are there two witnesses to that? And then there are issues of, did you have capacity at the time? It's one of the big things that comes up where an attorney drafting the will, they're providing the witnesses, helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Most of the attorneys I know that do that make notes of how that works.
All right, so this is a winner-take-all primary. There is no Democratic candidate. You're going up against Hannah Miller.
Correct.
And what is it that you bring to the table that you think the voters should consider?
So what I bring is that I've been involved in dealing with families, working this process through the probate court. So I've seen how the things that the court does impacts the families in ways that don't necessarily appear in the probate court. So I hear the back chatter, if you will. And I've dealt with that for almost 17 years now in practicing law, where I've seen families come in and they're struggling with these difficult things, and knowing more about how that's happening in the background, having lived that with clients, I see how to help bring resolution, help people to resolve their own issues through processes like mediation, and pushing those things so that people work out their own differences and deal with their own problems in the family.
Right. So this primary is June the 9th.
Correct.
And trying to get people out to vote in a primary is a challenge in itself.
It is.
Even though we've got a wide open ballot, we've got lots of people who are running for lots of different jobs. Anything particular you've been doing to try to raise the attention on Daniel Harshaw?
Well, I have been going to as many festivals as I can, talking to people there. Been active on Facebook, been calling friends, asking friends to call their friends, those kind of things. We've been putting a lot of signs out. We've got some in Western York County, but most of the population is Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TGK. So we've been trying to focus in on that area. And we've got website presence, Facebook presence, but all those things are really hard to get a lot of people to take a look at. So it is a difficult thing.
You're right. Okay, his name is Daniel Harshaw. He's one of the Republican candidates for probate judge. He wants your vote on June the 9th, and we thank you for being here with us today, Daniel.
Thank you, Manning, for having me.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up this section of our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. You have one more opportunity to have your voice on the air. We're going to tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. We ask people to stop eating and pay attention because we need your voice in on this. All right. So at the count of three, let's tell everybody what the heck we do inside this nice, cool restaurant. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. 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 Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Not bad at all. We'll be back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Community. It's what Comporium is all about. For over 130 years, we have served our customers like neighbors and friends, because we live here too. Comporium remains committed to keeping our thriving community growing and connected, delivering the gigabit speeds and same-day service you expect from your internet provider, improving the lives of those around you with deep community roots and people who know your name and care. That's Comporium. Online at Comporium.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food. And being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop for part two of our political profile program today. Elizabeth Enns is with us today. She's one of the Republican candidates for State House District number 26, which is where, Elizabeth?
It is in Fort Mill, just south of the Charlotte border, the North Carolina border, and it is on the east side of 77.
Right, pretty much everything east of the interstate.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, so for those who have not had a chance or an opportunity to meet Elizabeth Enns, tell us about you.
Well, I have served here in the area in York County, and even specifically in District 26, Fort Mill, for the last 19 years. My husband and I started a church, and we have continued with that church in Fort Mill over these last 19 years. And we have three teenage sons.
God bless you.
That are amazing. They are my greatest testimony.
Okay.
My oldest is just got his pilot's license.
Good for him.
And he is training to be a professional pilot.
Good for him.
And then my younger two are still in high school. They're at Nation Ford and very involved with sports, football, soccer, as well as the JROTC program.
Good for you.
So that family life is great. I love being a mom. And pastor life and being in the church is also wonderful, because you're with the people in the community all the time.
I would think a political life is much like a pastor's life. You're on call 24/7, 365.
Yes.
You never know what's going to come through
you
the phone.
You never know. And you help people, and then perhaps they throw you under the bus, and then you have to help people from under the bus.
Yeah, I got you. All right. So why do you want to do this? Why do you want to run? If you're a mom and you got three kids, mm-hmm. right? And you got to take care of the pastor, because he probably doesn't know what he's doing over there, right? So with all that going on, why do you want to do this?
Because I see the need. I see the need to make sure that our voice is being represented at the State House, to make sure that representation is for the people and not special interest groups. Since 2021, I've been going to the State House to testify for and against different bills. And I have found that much of the legislature are not necessarily representing the people in a strong way. They're more representing special interest groups, and that's not what the people want. So as I have testified and then brought the information back to the people, this is how your legislature are voting. If you're happy, please call them and say thank you. If you're not happy, call them and let them know how you want them to vote. And so we have just seen over these last several years that the voice of the people isn't really being represented, how we have this supermajority, and yet we're not. It's so hard to pass true conservative legislation.
Give me one example of where a piece of legislation, the way it's been handled, is au contraire to what the people are telling you.
Can I start with a victory?
Yes, go ahead.
We have worked really hard for the last few years on the bill to do with private spaces, with bathrooms for girls, biological girls, being safe in their bathrooms.
Can you imagine we even have to be discussing this? But go ahead.
It seems ridiculous that we had to. It seems ridiculous that we had to pass something to begin with. But what's even more ridiculous is that it took us several years and only just got passed and signed into law by the governor 5 days ago. So it took us, and so it's a victory. I'm so glad we finally got it. But it should have, the first time that we brought it up, instead of hearing, that doesn't happen in South Carolina, that's not a problem here, and we had to fight it and keep bringing up for several years to actually get it passed. So that, I'm glad we have the victory. I'm so thankful. But it shouldn't have taken us several years. So another one that we don't have the victory on yet is parental rights. This is another thing that should be a no-brainer. It should be a given. These are our God-given rights that are supposed to be upheld by the Constitution. God gave us our children. They do not belong to the state. They do not belong to the country. They are the responsibility of the parents. And so we have been fighting for parental rights for several years now, and it didn't move out of the Senate. We passed it in the House, which I'm thankful for, but I knew ahead of time that the Senate had already said they weren't going to touch it. So everybody could vote for it at the House so that they look good for election season, because the Senate had already made it known publicly that they weren't going to touch it.
So being unfamiliar with this bill, which I am, exactly what does it do, or how does it handle parents who are not parents? I mean, if you've got parents who are not controlling their kids, what does this legislation do?
So this legislation makes sure it codifies into law that you decide for your children the best course of medicine, of what you want to do if they're in need of medical care. It's not left to DSS and to doctors to decide what the best course of action is for, and that parents have a right to decide what's best for their kids. So there's things in this bill to protect that, and then also for education. And this is important, that we get to choose what's best for our children, because we have great, here in Fort Mill, we have some really great schools and great teachers, but it's not always the best for an individual child. So parents should be able to choose whether they go to the public school, a charter school, a private school, or if they need to be homeschooled. We need to look at that individual child and give the parents the right to choose what's best for them.
I mean, the parents can do that right now. If you want to haul your kid out of public school and put them in a charter school, you can do that.
It's true, you can, but if someone has a problem with it and they decide to report it to DSS and twist things about you, what we have seen, even there was a case here in Rock Hill where someone who had a reputation of being a drug addict and having all sorts of issues in their life, they falsely accused a family, and the family had to remove, the children had to be removed from the home, and it took several months for them to sort it all out and realize it was just a false accusation. And so there's things that need to be protected in our laws to make sure that our parents can parent, our parents have the right to make those decisions.
All right, so if you got this job, what is, besides tackling this and seeing this to a conclusion, what do you want to work on?
I want to work on, truly, and I know people say this a lot, but I really want to work on lowering our taxes. And we just saw this session, the historic tax bill that got a lot of fanfare, a lot of press, but when we actually ran the numbers, we realized it's not such a historic tax cut. It was a a shell game of shuffling some money, and for some, it will raise their taxes. For most, nothing will change, and then for a small amount, it will lower their taxes. But when we actually look at the budget and we reduce the spending of our state, then we can actually lower taxes and put more money back in the pockets of the people that work for it.
You know, that's always a popular political statement about lowering taxes, lowering taxes. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, and you get down there in those hollowed chambers in Columbia, there's not too many people that want their ox gored to stop this or stop that.
It's true, but there is a growing amount of people either in office currently or running on the same issue that they want to, for lack of a better word, but like doge all the spending and look at the places where this shouldn't be our taxpayer dollars going to this particular group, this, and looking back at the core functions of government and reducing the spending back to what it should be. And there's a growing amount of people, like I said, that are already in office or that are running for office who are putting forth this information. We have the technology to actually go through all the spending and be able to pull out and be able to audit properly. So it's not that complicated. And the will of the people is that we do this and we get rid of the overspending and we get rid of fraud.
Well, you know, we went through Doge with Elon Musk down in Washington. He has some success. But with all that being said, we are rapidly approaching $40 trillion in debt. I mean, everybody wants to get something back. And I know that if you are elected, somebody's going to be knocking on your door saying, hey, we'd like to do this project in Fort Mill, and it needs, you know, a couple million dollars. Are you going to go to work for us on that? And what are you going to do, say no, I'm not going to do that? I don't think so.
Well, it depends what it is. If it's a core function of government, let's talk about it. Let's figure out the best.
Well, let's give it a perfect example. Fort Mill just rolled out the nice, big, beautiful plans for the new operations center. All right? And that's something long overdue, long is needed. And had it not been for State Representative Ray Felder, who now is retired, and her tenacity, they never would have gotten the money to do that project.
Right.
So if somebody comes to you with a project like that, is that a core function of state government to build a building in Fort Mill or in Rock Hill or wherever?
Potentially. And this is where we have to also look at who decides what money gets to go to each county and look at proportionately. We need to be bringing back appropriate amounts of money, and then we as a county should decide, we as a town should get to decide, this is important to our town, this is core function of government in our place. Like, it took them a long time to get a proper fire truck on the other part, the other side of Fort Mill. That should never have been an issue. We need fire trucks. We need our first responders, and they need to be equipped properly with the proper tools. We shouldn't have to beg to get this money. There should be proper, and it shouldn't be backroom deals. It's like, your county gets this much money that's appropriate to your population, and it shouldn't be, okay, well, if I do this for you, you do this for me, then we get this money.
But then you got some very poor counties in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Don't have a tax base.
Yeah.
They have declining population, and if we did what you're talking about, they would probably end up with close to nothing.
Well, not necessarily. You have to take that into consideration, and that's why I said an appropriate amount of money. And you look at, there is where we have more affluent communities and counties where people do, responsible people do understand, some of our tax money does need to go to help these other communities, and that's important so that the whole state thrives.
All right, got about 15 seconds. Tell everybody why they should vote for Elizabeth Enns on June the 9th.
My heart, my passion, and my desire is to serve the people of Fort Mill. And so if you vote for me on June 9th, I will go to Columbia, and I will work for you. I will bring your voice to Columbia.
All right. Her name is Elizabeth Enns. She's got her name in the hat. And we'll see what happens on June 9th. Thank you for being here, and thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being a candidate willing to be scrutinized and put up for the public's consideration.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Once again, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we do magical things in here, which is not political. It's called food. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock. Don't you leave yet. We can need your voice on this. All right. At the count of three, let's tell everybody what the magic formula is. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Guarding, guarding, guarding.
You got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.